All right, last time we talked exclusively about completely inelastic collisions. Today I will talk about collisions in more general terms. Let's take a one-dimensional case. We have here M1, and we have here M2. And to make life a little easy, we'll make V2 0. And this particle has velocity V1. After the collision, M2 has a velocity V2 prime, and M1, let it have a velocity V1 prime. I don't even know whether it's in this direction or whether it is in that direction. You will see that either one is possible. To find V1 prime and to find V2 prime, it's clear that you now need two equations. And if there is no net external force on the system as a whole during the collision, then momentum is conserved. And so you can write down that M1 V1 must be M1 V1 prime plus M2 V2 prime. Now, you may want to put arrows over there to indicate that these are vectors, but since it's a one-dimensional case, you can leave the arrows off, and the signs will then automatically take care of the direction. If you call this plus, then if you get a minus sign, you know that the velocity is in the opposite direction. So now we need a second equation. Now, in physics, we do believe very strongly in the conservation of energy. Not necessarily in the conservation of kinetic energy, as you have seen last time. You can destroy kinetic energy. But somehow we believe that if you destroy energy, it must come out in some other form, and you cannot create energy out of nothing. And in the case of the completely inelastic collisions that we have seen last time, we lost kinetic energy, which was converted to heat. There was internal friction. When the car rack plowed into each other, there was internal friction, no external friction, and that took out kinetic energy. And so, in its most general form, you can write down that the kinetic energy before the collision plus some number Q equals the kinetic energy after the collision, and if you know Q, then you have a second equation, and then you can solve for V1 prime and for V2 prime. If Q is larger than zero, then you have gained kinetic energy. That is possible. We did that last time. We had two cars which were connected by a spring, and we burned the wire, and each went off in the opposite direction. There was no kinetic energy before, if you want to call that a collision, but there was kinetic energy afterwards. That was the potential energy of the spring that was converted into kinetic energy. So Q can be larger than zero. We call that a super elastic collision. Could be an explosion. That's a super elastic collision. And then there is the possibility that Q equals zero. Very special case. We will deal with that today. And we call that an elastic collision. I will often call it a completely elastic collision, which is really not necessary. Elastic itself already means Q is zero. And then there is a case of which we have seen several examples last time of inelastic collisions when you lose kinetic energy. So this is an inelastic collision. And so if you know what Q is, then you can solve these equations. Whenever Q is less than zero, whenever you lose kinetic energy, the loss in general goes into heat. Now I want to continue a case whereby I have a completely elastic collision. So Q is zero. Momentum is conserved because there was no net external force, so now kinetic energy is also conserved. And so I can write down now 1/2 M1 V1 squared, that was the kinetic energy before the collision, must be the kinetic energy after the collision, 1/2 M1 V1 prime squared plus 1/2 M2 V2 prime squared. This is my equation number one, and this is my equation number two, and they can be solved. You can solve them, they are solved in your book, I will simply give you the results, because the results are very interesting to play with. That's what we will be doing today. V1 prime will be M1 minus M2 divided by M1 plus M2 times V1. And V2 prime will be 2M1 divided by M1 plus M2 times V1. The first thing that you already see right away is that V2 prime is always in the same direction as V1. That's completely obvious, because the second object was standing still, remember? So if you plow something into the second object, they obviously continue in that direction. That's clear. So you see, you can never have a sine reversal here. Here, however, you can have a sine reversal. If you bounce a ping pong ball off a billiard ball, the ping pong ball will come back, and this one becomes negative. Whereas if you plow a billiard ball onto a ping pong ball, it will go forward. And so this can both be negative and can be positive, depending upon whether the upstairs is negative or positive. So this is the result which holds under three conditions: that the kinetic energy is conserved, so Q is zero, that momentum is conserved, and that V2 before the collision equals zero. Let's look at three interesting cases whereby we go to extremes. And let's first take the case that M1 is much, much larger than M2. M1 is much, much larger than M2. Another way of thinking about that is that let M2 go to zero. Extreme case, in the limiting case. So it's like having a bowling ball that you collide with a ping pong ball. If you look at that equation, when M2 goes to zero, this is zero, this is zero, notice that V1 prime equals V1. That is completely intuitive. If a bowling ball collides with a ping pong ball, the bowling ball doesn't even see the ping pong ball. It continues its road as if nothing happened. That's exactly what you see. After the collision, the bowling ball continues unaltered. What is V2 prime? That is not so intuitive. If you substitute in there M2 equals zero, then you get plus 2V1. Not obvious at all. Plus 2V1. It's not something I even want you to see. I can't see it either. I'll do a demonstration. You can see that it really happens. So now you take a bowling ball and you collide the bowling ball with the ping pong ball, and the ping pong ball will get a velocity 2V1. Not more, not less. And the bowling ball continues at the same speed. Now let's take a case whereby M1 equals much, much less than M2. In other words, in the limiting case, M1 goes to zero. And we substitute that in here. So M1 goes to zero, so this is zero, and so you see V1 prime equals minus V1. V1 prime equals minus V1. Completely obvious. The ping pong ball bounces off the bowling ball, and it just bounces back. And this is what you see. And the bowling ball doesn't do anything because M1 goes to zero, so V2 prime goes to zero. So that's very intuitive. And now we have a very cute case that M1 equals M2. And when you substitute that in here, when M1 equals M2, V1 prime becomes zero. So the first one stops, but V2 prime becomes V1. If M1 equals M2, you have two downstairs here and two upstairs, and you see that V2 prime equals V1. And that is a remarkable case. You've all seen that. You've all played with Newton's cradle. You have two billiard balls. One is still and the other one bangs on it. The first one stops and the second one takes off with the speed of the first. An amazing thing. We've all seen it. I presume you have all seen it. Most people do this with pendulums, where they bounce these balls.